Henry Martin was a missionary who was greatly used of the Lord during his short life. He died when he was just 30 years of age. And his last written words were these. He wrote the words, "I sat in the orchard and thought with sweet comfort and peace of my God. In solitude my company, my friend, and my comforter." And towards the end of his life, very close to it, Henry Martin was meditating upon the Lord. It says in our text before us in verse 34, "My meditation of him shall be sweet." If you meditate on something, it means to think closely, usually upon one given subject. Now, the psalmist here, many people believe that the writer was David. Some are not so sure about that. But we know that the style is very like David's. But whoever was the penman of the psalm, we certainly have before us what has been called a hymn of praise to God in nature. A hymn of praise to God in nature. If you read the psalm carefully and completely at home, you will see that the words there, the creation is covered, animal life is alluded to, the birds, the seas, and the grass, and the trees. And the purpose of all of that being mentioned is that all of it together might glorify the Lord. And that is the wish of us as a congregation, that with all our different personalities and different places where God has placed us every day, that in and through all of our lives, our home life, social life, life in the work here, that in all of that, that we might glorify him. And there's one thing that will unite us all today, and one desire that would unite us all. Every one of us would like to continually know gladness in our hearts. Verse 34, it says, "I will be glad in the Lord." Gladness is very important among God's people. We have known our share of it here over the past, certainly always we know a good deal of it among us, gladness, but over Christmas time and the New Year meeting and so on, I remember just on Monday night standing there thinking, it's just great to have the gladness of the Lord among us. And so it was. But every one of us this year will be wanting to know gladness. And the key to gladness now, and as we look into the future as well, a future that's hid from us in a whole lot of ways. Sometimes we presume upon things and we think and we plan, and we have to do that. And we all understand that in some degree, but we're all old enough to know that we can't be certain about very much. And therefore, as we look into a future that in many ways is unknown, and we want gladness in that future, the key is found in the words of our text, where the psalmist says, "My meditation of him shall be sweet." I want to say right away, on this first Sunday morning of this year, if we allow it to be, this can be a year of defeat for us, or for me or you as Christians. It can be that, and I trust that it will not be, but that it will be for us all a year of victory. And I just want to say this to you. If you're encouraged by anyone, by me, by a message, by anyone here, make it your point just to encourage someone else in the congregation. And you and I cannot overestimate the amount of good that that will do. I was thinking this past week about Barnabas and the effect of his ministry as an encourager. He was the son of consolation. That's the name that they give. That is what his name meant, son of consolation. And his main ministry was an encourager. And that's what I would like to be in 2019. I think I said that at the beginning of 2018 as well. And I hope I can be to you. But if you are encouraged, encourage someone else. And you know, even though we do seek to encourage each other, The Lord is the one who will really gladden our hearts. He will gladden our hearts. It says, I will be glad in the Lord. The old calls that came last year to you will come this year. Don't bother coming to the meeting. Don't get too involved in case it upsets your usual routine. All of those calls will be coming for all of us. But it is as we meditate upon him and give ourselves to the Lord and to his work, even though we can't maybe understand it right now how it would work out, as we do that, we will know gladness in our hearts. Some of the gladdest people you will ever meet are those who have given up everything. Some of them have given up very good careers. They've given up any possibility of having a house where they wanted to have it. They've gone away to the foreign field. They've lived there. Many a time they've been rejected. The work's been hard. They've plodded on. And yet there's a great gladness in their hearts. Something that's almost contagious. A gladness in their hearts because they're glad in the Lord. And they've learned something. They've learned that the key was to meditate upon him. And therefore, that is the title this morning of our motto text. My meditation of him shall be sweet. And I trust that what I say will help you every day of this year. I have put together 7 thoughts, therefore they will be very brief, but I trust that they will find a place in your heart and life, and they will help you. As we meditate upon him, what do we meditate upon? Remember what we said, meditation means to think closely and to focus, and that is what you're doing when you're meditating upon the Lord. We meditate upon the majesty of his persons. You and I are Trinitarians, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And our meditation upon God, the three persons of the Trinity. I want to say at the very start of this message, if you and I can do that this year, that will strengthen our minds. We all need our minds strengthened, because that is where so many attacks are coming upon the Christian in these days, upon the minds of the Christian. I'm not saying, it's the young people. No, upon everyone. Older folk as well. And that's where many a battle takes place. You see, wrong thoughts then grow into actions, and so often there are big consequences with the actions. So we need our minds strengthened as we meditate upon the majesty of his persons. God the Son, meditate upon Christ. Every day remind yourself, even before you go out, of what he has done for you. Over there in Hebrews chapter 12, there's that chapter of instruction that is in seeking to indeed focus our attention upon the Lord. It says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author, the word means captain and finisher of our faith. And then it goes on to speak about the work that he did in laying down his life. It said, who endured the cross, despising the shame. And then speaks of his ministry now is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. But look at verse 3. It says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And why should you do that? The word consider there means to compare things in their due proportion. Weigh it up carefully. Don't act hastily. No knee-jerk reaction. But weigh it all up carefully. Consider him, lest you become wearied and faint in your minds. Wearied and faint in your minds. One meaning of the word faint there is to lose ground. To lose ground. So you and I would want to meditate on the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we do that, consider him who bore such contradiction of sinners. Consider all that he has done. Even in the simple way every morning. Remember what he suffered for us. But remember his ministry for us now. It says there that he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Wouldn't want to lose out with the Lord this year. But rather we would want to go on with him. And I think as we meditate upon the majesty of the person of Christ, that will certainly help us. But also we want to meditate upon God, the Holy Spirit. It is God, the Holy Spirit, who we sang earlier on there about the Comforter coming, and he is your Comforter, Christian. And we all love to comfort each other when we need comforted, but there's no Comforter like him. And he can comfort you every single day in every single need. But over there in John 16, the Lord Jesus was speaking to his disciples, speaking about the Holy Spirit. And he says there in verse 13 of John 16, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit as our teacher. And folks, we need to be shown. In fact, we need to be shown continually from God's work. The Lord Jesus Christ is the shepherd. Some have referred to the Holy Spirit as the staff. And they've put it this way. They said, the staff makes the shepherd real to the sheep. The staff makes the shepherd real to the sheep. You have the sheep out on the hillside there, and you have the shepherd, and maybe sheep being what they are, they become a bit silly, and they're not really listening to the shepherd or going where he wants them to go. But he's got a staff, and he can guide them with the staff. And that is the meaning of the verse there, guiding us, the staff making the shepherd real to the sheep. Surely the thought here is of closeness, of God revealing his will continually to us as individuals. We live in a world of terrible confusion when there's great emphasis placed upon material things. We're not saying that they're not important for everyday life. They are, but they're not God. Great emphasis placed upon how you can have what everybody else can have. And that's where it all goes wrong. You and I would want to look to the Lord that he would guide us not into all material things, but into all truth. That's what it says there in the verse. He will guide you into all truth. If we can walk this year in accordance with the truth of God's word, then we've achieved something. Meditate upon the majesty of God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. I hope you know that your friend's here. You've one anyway, two. A wife cares for you as well. But you're far more than that. But you know, for all of us, God the Father, the Bible shows us his great care for the little sparrow. Sometimes there were sparrows out the back of where we live, out in the back garden. And there was other birds as well, but whenever I hear a sparrow, I always loved the noise, even as a boy. I love the noise that a sparrow makes. And when I hear them chirping, I always look to see what they're at. And you see them hopping around there, and they're trying to find something maybe in the back garden that they can eat. Or maybe some crumb of some or other that the dog has kicked out from his pen, and they're going to eat it. And as you look upon the sparrow, God cares. Not one of them falls to the ground without him knowing that. You're anxious about 2019. Fearful and worried. And sometimes, even as Christians, we become really, really anxious that it affects our lives. And brothers and sisters, things can be helped so much if we meditate upon the majesty of his persons. Every day, remember what Christ has done for you. Remember you've got the Holy Spirit to not just comfort you, but to guide you. Remember you've got God the Father who cares for you much more than he does for the sparrow. What I'm saying is, 2019, God is on your side. He's on your side. Good to meditate upon the majesty of his persons, but not just the majesty of his persons. Meditate upon the mercy of his grace. And what mercy that is. Sometimes the mercy of his grace is often called the riches of his grace. I'll just read what it says over there in Ephesians chapter 1. We're thinking here of the mercy of his grace, something else to meditate upon. Speaking of Christ, it says, in whom, that is Ephesians 1 verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You have been redeemed, Christian, adopted into the family and fold of God. You are secure in him. You have been pardoned and you're being provided for by the riches of his grace. Again, good to remind ourselves that it was God's grace that reached us. There's nothing in us that merited God's salvation, but God, in his sovereign will, chose us from eternity past. We heard that effectual call of God, and we came as sinners to him, maybe as a boy or girl, or maybe in more recent years when we weren't so young. But for all of that, we are debtors to mercy alone, as the hymn says. The mercy of his grace. But and we think, and you can read that chapter 1, and indeed all of Ephesians tell us so much about the riches that we enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, if we fill our mind with that, we'll not be bothered about the world. Certainly there were things that we would like to work towards and things we would have and material things that make our lives more comfortable. But we'll not be captivated by material things. We'll not be overtaken by secular age if we're filling our mind with the riches that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, this mercy of his grace is also seen in helping us to live and work together. That's important in your family. It's very important in church as well. Over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, it says there, apostle is writing, you can read all of the context at home yourself. It's in the context of giving to God's work, which of course does mean our tithe, but it means much more than that, as you know, giving our time to pray, giving our attention, our love, our attendance, our willingness to help. And it says in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have an all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. That's what we all want to do this year. Abound to every good work. To know that grace toward us. And if you look there even in verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. The Lord can bless you this year with his grace much more than you ever imagined. He can help us to work together. He can help everything to fit together like a jigsaw puzzle and all to dovetail together and to go forward together. One person can be greatly used of the Lord if the Lord should so choose to use him or her. And always down through history there have been the ones. But assemblies of God's people can go forward so well together. We need the mercy of his grace in helping us to live and work together. And also in our homes as well. That we might know that harmony and that feeling and experience of his presence in our homes. Good to meditate upon it. When we're going to work with others, saying, Lord, help me today to be easy to work with. Help me to be an encourager. Help me to know joy in what I'm going to do for the Lord. And help me to remember that I'm doing it for the Lord, not for Karen Salt or anybody else, but I'm doing it for the Lord. Meditate on the majesty of his persons. Meditate on the mercy of his grace. Meditate, and this is very important, on the magnitude of his love. Love is very important to you and to me. And love can be very strong. But again, we have to say that while we appreciate human love, there is no love like his. Something about love. And you've read the words before, as I have. It said somewhere that you can give without loving. That is true. If you see a charity down the street and they're collecting with a bucket or something, you may or may not. You may drop something into that bucket and you hardly more than know what it's for. And you're giving because it's a charity, but would perhaps it's because you're a kind individual. It's not that you particularly love the people, because you might not even know where it's going to. You might think you do. But you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You cannot love without giving. And if you and I love our families, we do give them everything we have. If we love those in the fellowship, we will want to be strengtheners and encouragers of each other. But you know God's love, and that's what we're thinking about here, meditating upon His love. His was a love that gave and a love that is still giving. Do you remember that His love for Peter was there when Peter was unworthy? And he felt it too, and he knew it. He denied the Lord. Maybe if someone put a sword to your neck and said, "You recant, or this is the end for you," who knows what I would do? But the Bible tells us not only did Peter deny the Lord, but he denied the Lord with oaths and curses. Mighty Peter, great preacher, used of the Lord. People went about trying to get under the shadow of Peter. Denied the Lord with oaths and curses, but the Lord loved him still. The Lord loved him and loves us, though unworthy. He loved Peter, though frustrated, and he loves you and I when we're frustrated. He loved Peter, even though Peter was forgetful of the Lord's love toward him. He loved Peter when he seemed to display unreasonable attitude. And he loves me when I do that as well. You see, he loves us with an everlasting love. Love, you cannot love without giving. And brethren and sisters, he's given us so much, but there's so much more that he's willing to give. And it works best when we recognize that love and we love him in return. We love him in return. How do you do that? Well, again, it depends a lot on what's in your mind. If we're going to have our mind filled with the world, again, don't get me wrong here, I'm not speaking of alienation from the world that we live in, but if it's going to be full of the thoughts of the system of the world and just the same sort of drive and ambition as the world and that materialistic outlook and that searching for me fame and all that sort of thing, then there's not going to be much love for him. But if our mind is filled with his word, remember back over in Deuteronomy chapter 11 when Moses was speaking there concerning the word of the Lord. Verse 12 of that chapter tells us that the land which the Lord God careth for. And the Lord cares for our land. And he cares for his people today. And he loves us with a love that never changes. But you know what he wants more than anything? More than, if you're really good at something and talented and you have a good gift, that's good for you in the work of the Lord. And I mean that. But more than anything, he wants your heart. The word says, "My son, give me thine heart." He wants our love in return. Anybody who has practiced for a while can go through the mechanics of doing what we usually do. And we'll get it done. But it's so much more a blessing to our own soul and will consequently be a blessing to others if we do it from a full heart, if we do it from a heart of love. And that love for God comes as we read his word. This chapter 11 in Deuteronomy shows us the importance of the word. It says in verse 18, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand." That was some of the Jews at that time, they put a portion of the law on their hand or their arm. And it was up constantly before them. "Bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes." It says, "Or teach them unto your children. Speak of them when thou sittest in the house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." We cannot stress too much here the importance of the word. And look at verse 21. "And your days may be multiplied in the days of your children, and the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them." Then here's amazing words. "As the days of heaven upon earth." Those are good days. We have good days in Ackley. It isn't the biggest congregation in the Free Presbyterian Church. I've often said it could be a little bit bigger. It couldn't be much better sometimes. Christmas was an example, Monday night in particular perhaps. Days of heaven upon earth. Enjoying love from the Lord and loving him back. Do you remember what we said about love? cannot love without giving. He gave his son for us. He gives us everything today. And you and I can give our lives to him. There's no better time to start than now. And if you feel that, well, I didn't do that last year, just plod it through, there'll never be a better time than now to do it, to rededicate our lives to him. Meditate upon the majesty of his persons, upon the mercy of his grace, upon the magnitude of his love, but upon the might of his arm. Already in this year, I know how weak I am. And maybe you do as well. And you will know as this year goes on that the flesh will not want you to pray. You'll give the prayer meetings a wide berth if you can. But if we think upon the might of his arm, and if there is that cooperation which means devotion to what he would have us to do, that is to pray and to seek his face, there will be not only that cooperation, but there will be courage imparted to you because you'll be relying on him. Relying on him. Christian, don't let your consciousness of your limitation and weakness hold you back. But rest upon him, on the might of his arm. Now that, of course, as I mentioned, does bring responsibilities. And we need to be praying. We must do that. But if you look there in Joshua and his experience, Joshua was, as military leaders go, he was brilliant. He was well trained, working there with Moses, and then he had to take over. And the Lord said to him in verse 6 there of chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6, "Be strong and of a good courage." And he says to him again there, down in verse 9, "Be not dismayed." And there are other places where the word to Joshua is, "Be of good courage." You and I would imagine he already had that, but he knew. He knew that at best he was just a man, and that the flesh was constantly opposing him in whatever he sought to do for the Lord. And so it will be with you this year. If you and I want to be defeated, and as I said, give prayer a berth, a wide berth, just get out of it. You know, in that way, get a sidestep at some road. We can do that. That's defeat. But if there's devotion and saying, "I will come with all of my weakness," and this is it, "I want to prove the Lord." Saving is not handed to us on a plate. We have to work. And that means praying and preaching and seeking to reach out to others as well. We have other things in our mind we would like to do in the coming year, and we need help with that too. But we need his strength. Remember the psalmist in another place prayed, "Be thou their arm," or their strength, every morning. We need it continually. When you look back last year, when did the Lord fail us once? He didn't. He met us at the very point of our need, and we proved him. And in many ways, we proved the might of his arm. I mentioned to you there the watch night service. I was rebuked. You ask the Lord to do something and you sort of draw the line and think, well, I'm not asked for that because that's not going to happen. And then it does happen. And then you think, well, why did I not really ask for that? Meditate upon the might of his arm. Don't focus, brothers and sisters, upon your own weakness because it'll get you down. But throw yourself into God's work. Devote yourself to seeking his face along with other brethren and sisters and prove the might of his arm. Watch him working. Meditate upon the might of his arm. But another thing to meditate upon is the marvel of his nearness. Most of us like a little bit of solitude every now and again, even if it's only for an hour or two. But nobody likes loneliness. Everybody dreads loneliness. Listen, the Lord who has saved you will be with you this year to warm and to cheer your heart, and indeed to stir your heart. And if you look through the Bible, you will see examples of his sympathy. When you need sympathy, nobody sympathizes like him. When you need empathy, maybe you don't want to share your need with others, but you need empathy anyway. He's the greatest empathizer. When you need understanding, He's the one who understands. When you need care, he's the one who cares. When you need encouraging, he is the greatest encourager. What a blessing it is to know his nearness. It means everything to us. Meditate upon the marvel of his nearness. When you go out into the world and you're not very long into your workplace or down the street there and you hear the language that, you know, really disturbs you. I was speaking to a fella on Friday night, just briefly at Presbytery. He's telling me about another place he liked to go, and the only thing he said was the man who was running the situation. He says, he's an awful tongue. So you want to hear the language? Ruins it for you. And you'll not be long out into the street till you will hear it. But remember his nearness. Remember that he's the one who cares and understands and is able to encourage you and is able to help you to swim against the flow. Just a couple of final thoughts here. Meditate upon the matchlessness of his intercession. Remember, when you look back in 2018, you say, well, I'm trying hard here, but I can't really think of any answers to prayer. Remember, he's praying for you. Sometimes we pray for a long time for answers. Maybe there's uncertainty in your heart. He's praying for you. Maybe there's fear in your heart that there wasn't there last year. He's praying for you. That is his ministry as an intercessor, praying for you. Over in Hebrews 7 and the verse 25, it says, wherefore he is able to save to them to the uttermost to come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. God takes your prayers with all their imperfection and presents them before the Father. Those things you asked about, and you asked about in weakness, Christ has brought them before God the Father. Remember that every day. You go out to face the world, he's praying for you today. The matchlessness of his intercession. I have one very final brief thought here, and it is another thing very important to meditate upon. That is the merit of his blood. If you want to be saved today, it'll only be by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, being washed from your sin, if you repent of that sin. But when you are saved, daily failure is something we're aware of as well. It says over there in 1 John 1 and the verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And so that is true. How blessed is fellowship when we're walking in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It means goes on cleansing. Today and tomorrow and the day after that. And with all of our failure, it goes on cleansing because of the merit of his blood. Sometimes Christians can get so low down and so despondent that they're just a shadow of what they used to be as far as serving the Lord is concerned. Well, that doesn't need to be the case anymore. Someone said, if you're down, don't give up. Just get up. Seek him. Remember Joshua. I mentioned him earlier on. He was a mighty man. Even on one occasion, the Lord had to say to him, get up. He had to get the situation sorted out. Lying down wasn't going to bring him anywhere. We can say today, brothers and sisters, that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. How important it is to meditate. And I think if we endeavor every day to meditate upon him, then we know something of the gladness that there is to be found in the Lord. I really hope you'll know that gladness right from today on, and that knowing his grace and help, you will meditate upon him each and every day. We do trust the Lord will bless these few thoughts to your heart, and that you will prove him and prove his love in the coming days.